Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone to Bhagavatam class. Very fortunate souls who attend Bhagavatam class, actually. Or those maybe online who are hearing. And most important is to be hearing. Sometimes we are in Bhagavatam class physically, but not hearing. So today we're going to do two things. We'll be reading this verse and then we'll just hopefully try to project a few small things in connection with what I was discussing a little bit yesterday, a follow-up to that. And we have 16, right? Canto number 1, chapter 17. Yes. Text 16. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Sri Prabhupada Ki. The supreme duty of the ruling king is to give all protection to law-abiding persons and to chastise those who stray from the ordinances of the scriptures in ordinary times, when there is no emergency. Purport. In the scriptures, there is mention of apad dharma, or occupational duty at times of extraordinary happenings. It is said that sometimes the great sage Vishwamitra had to live on the flesh of dogs in some extraordinary dangerous position. In cases of emergency, one may be allowed to live on the flesh of animals of all descriptions, but that does not mean that there should be regular slaughterhouses to feed the animal eaters, and that this system should be encouraged by the state. No one should try to live on flesh in ordinary times simply for the sake of the palate. If anyone does so, the king or the executive head should punish him for gross enjoyment. There are regular scriptural injunctions for different persons engaged in different occupational duties, and one who follows them is called swadharmastha, or faithful in one's prescribed duties. In the Bhagavad Gita, 18:48, it is advised that one should not give up his occupational prescribed duties, even if they are not always flawless. Such swadharma might be violated in cases of emergency. If one is forced by circumstances, but they cannot be violated in ordinary times. The state executive head is to see that such swadharma is not changed by the follower, whatever it may be, and he should give all protection to the follower of swadharma. The violator is subject to punishment in terms of the shastra, and the duty of the king is to see that everyone strictly follows his occupational duty as prescribed in the scripture. Translation again, the supreme duty of the ruling king is to give all protection to law-abiding persons and to chastise those who stray from the ordinances of the scriptures in ordinary times when there is no emergency. I chose this verse this morning because it has some very important messages, and those are indicated by the words, of course, dharma. Not only dharma, but swadharma, and also yatha shastram, according to shastra. We touched on this point of swadharma yesterday, how not only we as devotees have to give attention to our spiritual swadharma, but we also have to give attention to our material swadharma. And I also mentioned yesterday how we generally, as devotees, are more familiar with our spiritual swadharma, although even that is not always obvious or not so easy to to practice, isn't it? Our spiritual swadharma has to do with our understanding that we are not this body, but theoretical understanding of we are not the body is one thing, but acting as if we are always on the transcendental platform, we know is not so easy. So I want to give less attention to this particular aspect, although it is of prime importance to all of us, you know, our spiritual swadharma, and that in itself is a very major part, is meant to be a major part of our meditation, of our attention. It is meant to be actually the focal point for all of us, you know, how to develop our natural, original spiritual consciousness of eternal servants of the Lord. The point that I was trying to make a little bit yesterday and that I'd like to make possibly a bit more today is that we should not be exclusively focused on the spiritual, on our spiritual dharma, at the neglect of our material swadharma. And when that happens, we create an imbalance in society, and we also do not attract the full attention of Krishna. Why? Because Krishna's that very nice verse spoken actually by Lord Shiva, in terms of our radhananam sarvesham. Parvati was asking to Lord Shiva, who is the most worshipable object? And Lord Shiva to reply, aradhananam sarvesham vishnur aradhanam param. Lord Vishnu is the supreme worshipable personality. However, Lord Shiva continues by explaining, even more worshipable than Lord Vishnu, tadiyanam samarchanam, what is very dear to Lord Vishnu is even more worshipable. And of course, there are so many things that are dear to Lord Vishnu, beginning with his devotees. Beginning with his devotees, and of course also with cows in particular, the brahmanas in particular, certain living entities, and also Krishna's very creation. Krishna's material energy is non-different from him. It is an expansion of Krishna. It means when we neglect what is dear to Krishna, including his material energy, because everything belongs to him. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvam pravartate iti madva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. So, I'd like to take us... Yeah, which one do you have? Yeah, correct. Yesterday, thank you. Okay. Yesterday, I was briefly mentioning how we have very clearly defined systems of knowledge or sciences that are given in our shastra. So, yata shastram, as it is mentioned here, all that we do should be naturally based on shastra. And shastra, as we know, is divided into Sruti and Smriti. Sruti, what is directly spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and what is dealing essentially with the spiritual, we could say spiritual Swadharma. Whereas Smriti is dealing with material Swadharma. And our Vedic literatures are giving us all kinds of information regarding how we should be living and how we should be interacting and dealing with the material energy. So, when we fail to do that, then naturally the whole situation in the material world becomes very disturbed and very chaotic. And of course, as Prabhupada told us, this is our situation at present in Kali Yuga, in this 20th century, now in the 21st century, this chaotic condition continues. So, I wanted to bring up again, maybe for those who were not here yesterday, we can go to the next slide. Yeah. This is a contrast. This is meant to bring the kind of contrast that we have today. Those who are fortunate to have come in contact with the Vedic culture know what is meant to be the norm in society, know what is meant to be the different kinds of occupations, and of course the primary goal and objective in life, which is self-realization, which is depicted at the bottom of the picture on the screen, as being primarily, as we find throughout the pages of the Bhagavatam and throughout the Vedic literatures, and as reminded to all of us by Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, agrarian culture. Vedic culture is an agrarian culture. This is very important to understand, because when we really become convinced that Vedic culture is meant to be an agrarian culture, and by agrarian culture it means the vast majority of people are daily intimately connected with the land, daily intimately connected with the cows, daily intimately connected with spiritual development. And of course, the picture demonstrates that the modern day setup of industrialization and urbanization has basically taken us away from that. We can go to the next slide. And therefore, this is showing us here we could say, this is taken from Cambodia, a painting of how life was and to a large extent still is in Cambodia, which is meant to be reflecting Vrindavan. Yesterday we purposely read a purport where Srila Prabhupada was reminding us of Krishna and Balaram having taken birth in Vrindavan, so that their primary, one of their purposes was to show by example, this is how people are meant to live. Everyone is actually meant to live in this more simple and natural lifestyle. Yes. I should bring this up on mine here so that... So there are very nice prayers that are explaining and also references. I want to read a few references given by Srila Prabhupada, and I want to bring us actually to the gist of what of the message I'm trying to convey this morning, which is Prabhupada's message, actually. And we're just going to synchronize here a little bit. So this is a very nice invocation, which is from the Mahabharata. Tratavya pratamam agava trataha trayanti tadvijan go brahmana paritrane paritratam jagat bhavet, which means, first of all, cows should be protected, and cows thus protected will in turn protect the brahmanas. Thus, when protection of cows and brahmanas is achieved, then the whole world is protected. At present, the whole world is unprotected, primarily because the cows are not protected, and therefore the Brahminical culture is in tremendous danger. We can go to the next slide, which is also more known as a prayer. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Same message is being conveyed. My Lord, you are the well-wisher of the cows and the brahmanas, and you are the well-wisher of the entire human society and the world. This is from the Vishnu Purana. And then Srila Prabhupada, don't go too fast. The killing of cows in human by human society is one of the grossest suicidal policies, and those who are anxious to cultivate the human spirit must turn their attention first towards the question of cow protection. And there's a picture of cow underneath, of course, yeah. This is from the Light of the Bhagavat, very less known possibly by many devotees, but I very much encourage devotees to read this book written by Srila Prabhupada before he went to the West. The next three slides we can skip. Means you just have to go quickly. Yeah. We don't need them. And I want to come to the core. Yeah. Just the core problem is mentioned here. Our modern setup, modern day society, which is based on urbanization, industrialization. We talked about this. Excuse me, a little bit yesterday, that there's a rather recent history as to how and when this came about, which began about 300 years ago, 400 years ago. The result of this modernism, modern-day society, modern-day civilization that Prabhupada condemned very heavily, is that it has disconnected us from the land, from the cows, from spirituality, from values, from what is basic in our Vedic culture. And these are the second paragraph, yes, is what Grandfather Bhishma Dev explains in the Mahabharata when speaking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. That the Lord has given us all these three gifts of nature, beginning with cows, gift of cows, gift of land, and gift of knowledge. And of course, in one sense, it's nothing new. You know, we've heard this before, but there is a need to actually deepen our understanding of what this actually means for all of us individually, number one, and for us also as a society. For Srila Prabhupada, as we know, wanted us to preach Krishna consciousness and to demonstrate in practical ways the application of this, we could say, perfect philosophy. Vedic, this is a unique feature of these Vedic literatures, Vedic knowledge. It is based on tattva. Tattva means truth. And it just so happens that it is the absolute truth. It is unchanging knowledge, just like these principles or these gifts of nature, which, if you can remember a little bit what we spoke about yesterday also in terms of the four sciences, are directly connected with these four sciences. It means that actually, unless we work towards rectifying the present situation, and unless we gradually reposition ourselves or mold our lives in such a way that we live according to what our Shastra is urging us to do, what Krishna has personally demonstrated when he performed his pastimes in Vrindavan. And, you know, in a very concrete, specific way, it means unless we make endeavors to produce our own food, you know, this is like very concrete, unless we make efforts to produce our own food, to stop depending on the dominant culture of the day, which is, by Srila Prabhupada's analysis and by simple observation, modern day society, which has brought us, practically speaking, to the brinks of destruction around the world, at all levels, including the spiritual level, because when we are surrounded by a very disturbed atmosphere, passionate, you know, cities and urbanization, modern-day urbanization is throwing everyone in, practically speaking, states of despair, isn't it? Therefore, it was and remains one of the important aspects of what we as devotees are meant to understand and act upon. And we can go to the next slide, because this brings up the four sciences which we spoke about yesterday. And the point I was making yesterday also is that, practically speaking, to a large extent, we as individuals as individual devotees and as a society, to a large extent, have only seriously looked at the first of these four. We may have read and studied, and some possibly more than others, but we have not demonstrated in practicality our understanding of the other three sciences. The science of education means traditional education. And it means basically, where are our gurukulas? Where are our brahmanas who are teaching based on yathashastra, according to the standard 14 books of knowledge? And where are, of course, science of politics, a bit more difficult, although something is there in terms of leadership, some leadership concepts and principles, but very restricted to our own temples and very restricted to our own society. And especially the last one, which is something that Prabhupada, we could say, in a more direct way, personally established and visited and spent time in communities where the science of economics, Prabhupada spoke about this quite extensively, would be shown or demonstrated by not depending, once again, on the dominant culture, but by developing self-sufficient communities. So we need to, all of us, especially in the context of where we are today in modern-day society, just to bring this up a little bit more for those who may be less familiar, we have some global statistics just to share here that can help bring the message home. Every year, 150 billion animals are slaughtered all over the world. 40 to 50 million abortions, people committing suicide. These things are on the increase as well. Farmers in India, as we know, what is it? 300,000 farmers. That's a lot in the last 20 years. In the last 20 years, approximately 33% of the natural resources on the planet have been depleted, are no longer there, you see. forests are disappearing, waterways. All of these things are actually happening. And as Mahatma Gandhi mentions, actually Prabhupada also mentioned, there's enough, you know, we can produce 10 times the amount of food. So these arguments that there's lack of food or overpopulation, Prabhupada rejected those. People are starving. There is overpopulation in one aspect, but Srila Prabhupada explained that actually the real problem is that of mismanagement. Material nature, Mother Nature, is able to produce practically unlimitedly. And what is very dramatic is that we are destroying, this is the message I'm trying to convey here, is that modern day society has become or is a very destructive society, which is of course the opposite of what Vedic culture, you know, is promoting and inviting us to show by how we live, how we properly utilize the natural resources of nature, etc. We are all, as devotees, naturally wanting to advance in Krishna consciousness. My contention is that unless we simultaneously take into consideration this particular aspect of dharma, again, this material swadharma, and it's connected with what Srila Prabhupada spoke about on many occasions, then it means that we are not properly understanding or not properly applying. And therefore, we require more of our devotees to give more attention, I would say, to these various instructions that are given to us by Srila Prabhupada. I mean, it's all there in the Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, and various lectures given by Srila Prabhupada. And it's in many ways actually not an easy subject matter to address. Because it's complex. It's a complex matter. No one likes complexity. At the same time, the principles are actually not complex. This is what's important. Simplicity is one of the qualities actually of a Brahmana. And simplicity is also one of the features of the Vedic culture. That's why Prabhupada has so many times reminded us, and we all know also, you know, the statement, simple living and high thinking. Vedic culture is based on simple formulas, simple ideas, simple notions. But if we don't take the proper time to more deeply go into these simple formulas, we'll miss them. We won't understand them. Just like Prabhupada, isn't it? First is food. Yeah, first is food. How many of us really understand what that means? First is food. First is food means, unless we have our material situation arranged in such a way that we can easily get our food, and our food means natural food, wholesome food, then it means that our situation is not properly arranged. Huh? And the vast majority of us don't have this simple instruction given by Srila Prabhupada worked out. It's a very simple instruction, but it's a very deep one. It has a lot of meaning to it. Same instruction also given to us by Srila Prabhupada, we're not the body. That's a simple instruction. But we all know how it's not at all easy to realize and to act on that platform. As I mentioned yesterday, we have a ministry in India which is, in the last 10 years, been focused on this aspect, this dimension. And it remains still, to a large extent, something largely unattended that actually is the responsibility of every devotee, of course, especially those in different levels of leadership position. But we have, you know, there are natural leaders within our within general society. Mother and father are also natural leaders. People are responsible for our temples. People are responsible for education. So therefore, just to wind up on this point here, the actual solution Prabhupada gave us that information as well, lies in education or cultivation of knowledge, isn't it? And therefore, Srila Prabhupada spoke about our society meant to be primarily an educational and cultural society. Even Prabhupada makes a statement, we are not a religious organization. It's not that we reject religion. We're not a religious organization, means we're not just practicing a religion. And we know, we have that great fortune of having, you know, an acharya, a line of acharyas, who are giving us the essence of all religions, which is dharma, isn't it? But unless we really understand dharma on these two levels and learn to balance these two levels of dharma, we will fail to actually realize the mission given to us by our acharyas. In other words, we have, and Prabhupada makes a number of statements in that regards as well, we have this dual responsibility to understand and to apply these two levels of dharma, spiritual svadharma and material svadharma. Yesterday we ran out of time a little bit, and because there were a few questions, before actually closing, I want to encourage the audience to read, especially, I mention this everywhere where I travel, because many of our devotees have yet to really properly study the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam. Five chapters, chapter 11 to 15, whereby Narada Muni goes into great detail explaining about the science of Varnashrama Dharma, as requested by Yudhishthira Maharaj. And these same instructions given by Bhishma Dev that we put on the screen a few minutes ago were also spoken to Yudhishthira Maharaj. In other words, we have standard, unchanging knowledge, because the knowledge we have, they are sciences, you know, these four charvidya, these four sciences. And all we have to do is just concentrate on learning these sciences very nicely, and then things will naturally, you know, flow. We have this particular book, I believe I mentioned yesterday, compiled by Hare Krishna Dasi quite some years back, entitled Speaking About Varnashram. I highly recommend. It has basically all of the quotes. Thank you. All of the quotes and references. It's all Srila Prabhupada from various lectures and purports as well. And very nicely done or presented. We have a series of other books, more recent book, for example, entitled Save Our Cows, Save Our Villages, and Save Our Culture. India right now is, and other countries, where there is a very serious threat. If we lose villages, Vedic culture is primarily actually in villages. And education, we have a few books on education. I think, I don't know if our Shamananda Pandit, there's a book table outside, yeah. So devotees, if you have time, you can have a look at the book table. And yes, just finish on this point here. There's a lot of nice information which is available on an app which we have brought together. It's called Sri Surabhi. You can download this app. It's a free app with a lot of information, links to various websites that are also providing information related to some of the topics that I've been trying to touch upon yesterday as well as today. And this all has to do with our spiritual well-being as well as our material well-being, because we cannot neglect either of them. So I will close here, inviting any possible comments or questions, if there are any.